Deep within the forest, the companions eased their retreat, only after losing sight of the bridge and the terrible thing on the other side. Slowing to a walk, Ryan reloaded the Steyr and breathed in the cool air with the rich scent of pine. He'd grown up in woods like these, and they always felt like home to him. The trees were well spaced, the floor of the forest a soft cushion of needles and leaves. He recognized oak, ash, and maple. How could two islands so close to each other geographically be so far apart in temperature and plant life?
Nice.
We'll break here. Cold rations and water only. No fire. Don't know if there's anybody around here, and there's no sense advertising our presence.
I'll take first watch.
All right, Christy.
Taking the snake from his pocket, Ryan started gutting and cleaning the reptile with a folding pocket knife. The panga was much too big for such delicate work, reserved for big jobs of hacking through jungles and cutting throats.
Still fresh. Help yourselves.
Ryan laid out slices on a large leaf. Doc took a piece and started chewing the tough meat.
Tastes nothing like chicken.
I still can't get over how big that spider was. It's impossible. Just impossible.
Saw it.
Opening a self-heat can, Jack waited until the food was warm, then started in with a hand-carved wooden spoon, relaying the soup to his mouth with the care of a surgeon. Not a drop was wasted on the ground.
Are you referring to the... what was it again, Mildred? The inverse square law of biology?
Yes. Muties can be utterly bizarre, any shape or color, but they always obey the laws of science. An invertebrate can't grow that large. It would collapse under its own weight.
Saw a vid once in a redoubt. Big dinosaur, lot larger than this spider.
That was just a story, Dean.
Looked real.
Can't get very big because it only has external bones. Is that the idea?
Exactly, Ryan.
So what if it had two? Regular bones inside as well as that outer shell.
Chitin. Two skeletons? God help us. They could get a lot bigger than 10 feet with two skeletons.
Big as the vid dinosaur?
Larger.
Hot pipe. I wouldn't want to tangle with one of those. Unless we find another APC and a ton of ammo.
Nature will out.
Two skeletons. What made you think of that, Ryan?
Seemed reasonable.
Mildred and Doc exchanged silent glances. Ryan was the leader of the group because he was the deadliest fighter alive and not a fool. A thinking man was 10 times more dangerous than an army of fools with blasters. A ghostly scream moved among the trees, so low they almost couldn't hear it over the gentle rustling of leaves.
Cougars?
Christy stepped forward, blaster in hand. Nothing was moving amid the trees nearby but a few squirrels. She looked again as one spread its arms, extending the thin membrane between its fore and hind legs, jumped and sailed away. A flying squirrel. The Earth Mother had a strange sense of humor sometimes.
Killed lots of cats. Never heard that.
Another spider?
Mm-mm. No vocal cords. They can't scream. Then again, maybe a mutie can. I don't know.
That's human. It was coming from the south.
Could be the owners of the cats.
Only one way to find out, JB. Leave the packs. We'll travel faster. 2 yards spread. No talking. Wreck only. We find trouble, we back off.
The companions started to gather loose tree branches to toss over the bundles. When the backpacks were safely out of sight, they checked their weapons and started out, with Ryan in the lead. After a few hundred yards, the forest thinned to scrub brush. Angling around a small mesa, they traveled swiftly and silently through a valley, following the irregular remains of a pre-dark road. The pavement curved around the mesa, disappearing into a collapsed brick tunnel, pieces of trapped cars still sticking out from under the rubble.
Grins?
Blasters. Don't know what kind. Odd noise.
Those are black powder long blasters. I know the stink.
This way, people.
Ryan headed into the rose bushes edging the ancient roadway. Carefully pushing their way through the thorns, the companions exited on the side of a sloping hill overlooking a crescent-shaped lagoon. Palm trees lined the white sand shores, and a large ville of log cabins was surrounded by a stone block wall, made mostly from bricks and sidewalk slabs. A large section of the wall was smashed to pieces, and several of the cabins were on fire, the smoke masking whatever was happening on the shore. Then the wind shifted direction for a moment, exposing the beach and the lagoon.
Look there, a ship.
More than that, it is a whaling schooner, madam. A windjammer from my own time period. Somebody must have found one intact in a naval museum. By the three Kennedys, she's a beauty. Look at that rigging. It's in perfect condition.
Windjammer mean no motor?
None, Jack. Just sails.
Smart. Wind free.
And it has cannon. See those hatches along the gunwale? Flip those up and out come the big blasters.
Artillery? Can they reach us up here?
Not black powder cannon. They're short-range weapons, and only fire solid balls of metal, 20 pounds each or more. We're safe at this distance.
20 pounds? That'd chill the spider.
Quiet, boy.
Sorry.
Good thinking, though.
Ship would need lamps. Maybe we could buy some alcohol off them.
The solution to our problem could be right there.
Christie's hair waved uneasily. She wiped sweaty hands on her khaki jumpsuit to dry them.
More likely it's fish oil lamps, dear Christie, but it can do no harm to ask.
Worst comes to worst, we could sail back to the continent on a ship that large, if the hull's in good condition. Let's get closer and see why they're fighting. Maybe we can cut a deal.
And decide which side we should take.
If any.
Winners might be grateful for our help.
Or they may ace us for getting in the way of a private feud. We wreck first before doing anything else.
Safety first, lover.
Slipping and sliding down the red clay of the hillside, the companions crawled through the bushes until reaching the stonework wall. Several bodies lay in pieces on the sandy soil, obvious victims of the blast that opened the wall. Silently, they crept to the gaping hole and peeked inside. Mutilated corpses lay everywhere in bloody disarray. Most had black holes in their chests, some with arms missing, and a few were decapitated, the heads nowhere in sight. The snow-white sand of the beach was crimson in spots from the fresh spilled blood of the bodies hacked into pieces in the shallows. Most wore plain garb of crude tan cloth, the hems only ragged threads. But prominent among the dead were men in good clothing, black boots, pants with patches, white shirts and wide leather belts. Swords lay near the corpses and what looked like crude muskets. One of the sailors had an arrow through his neck, while the other was literally cut in twain from the head down to the axe buried in his groin. Above the tide marks, laughing men in boots and wide belts were whipping a crowd of men and women whose heavy chains shackled them ankle and neck. Other sailors moved between the prisoners, roughly cutting away their clothing, leaving the people stripped naked. One man fought against the treat men and was lashed to the ground by three of the cold hearts until his back was a raw mass of bloody flesh hanging loose on his bones. Oddly, the clothing didn't seem to fit these cold hearts well. Off to the side, several young women had been stripped and waited weeping in line as the sailors cut the ropes on a woman tied to the table and shoved her to the ground. She lay there without moving, her thighs streaked with fresh blood, her face battered and bruised.
Goddamn bastards.
A sailor ran his hands along her flanks and said something the wind carried away. The rest of the men waiting in line began to undo their belts. Only a few dozen yards off the beach was the great wooden ship, the name Constellation masterfully carved into her bow. The ancient ship was fat and wide, the gunwales high above the water. A single titanic mast stood in the middle, supported by a confusing maze of ropes. A squat cabin sat on the rear deck. The vessel was colossal, maybe 200 feet long by 50 wide. This close, they could see that a section of the hull was made of greenwood planks, unlike any other part of the beautiful vessel.
No, Can't be.
But it is, Mildred. And they're using her as a godforsaken slave galley.
Those motherfuckers have to die.
A small boat rowed to the ship, a group of the chained prisoners cowering under the watch of the Cold Hearts armed with huge bore pistols. The curved hammers of their blasters were set on the side of the barrel and were bigger than a man's thumb.
Flintlock pistols. I'd say 75 caliber. Takes 30 seconds to a minute to reload, depending on how good they are.
Same with the muskets on the ship.
A well of laughter on the beach caught Ryan's attention. A jeering Cold Heart in fancy clothes was pissing on a chained man being dragged to a roaring fire.
You can't do this! We are freeborn!
Not anymore! Hold them!
No!
The other Cold Hearts pinned the captive for the leader as the sailor at the fire withdrew a long iron pole with a glowing red tip.
God, no! Stop this now! Please, stop!
Sorry, buddy.
The glowing tip pressed to his bare right shoulder. The branding iron was removed and seared into the dead white flesh a red symbol, an outline of a bird with wings outstretched, silhouetted by a flaming sun.
Now you're a slave, free for the taking.
The others released the branded slave, but the man stayed on his feet.
Gods of the deep, I was a fool to ever trust you bastards. We had a deal. You repair our ship, and we'd pay in blasters and powder. We had a deal!
Now, who'd believe a slave? Even the Lord Baron himself can't keep track of every ship that gets storm damaged in the Thousand Islands.
So they aren't pirates?
No, Christy. I think the villagers are enslaving the sailors.
Would have thought it was the other way around.
Deal? Yeah, we had a deal. And now we don't. Ah, fuck this.
The leader drew the flintlock from his belt, awkwardly pulled back the hammer, and fired. Flame and smoke exploded from the wide maw of the hand blaster, the strident blast blowing away half the prisoner's head. Grayish-pink brains flew from his smashed skull, red blood pumping from the severed neck. The lifeless body slumped to the ground.
Any more?
Father!
A young man charged from the bushes, carrying a long pole with a free-formed blade on the end.
Ah!
The leader of the villagers turned at the cry and ducked behind another villager just in time to avoid being slashed across the throat, a spray of blood from his shield arching into the sky. A Cold Heart tried to use a flintlock, but it merely hissed in a misfire. Another threw a knife. It missed. The young man threw his spear, and it went completely through the Cold Heart at the fire, stabbing the man behind him with its unusual blade. Entrails slithering into view from between his fingers, the first man slumped over into the fire, dragging the second along with him. Bare feet padding on the smooth sand, the young man grabbed a blaster from another Cold Heart when a thundering boom shook the beach. The young man staggered backward, his right arm gone, only shattered bone and tendrils of flesh hanging from the hideous wound. Yet the dying man walked onward, going straight for the nameless leader of the slavers, his whole body trembling from the incredible exertion of staying on his feet. Contemptuously, the slaver pulled a pouch from his belt and began to reload the huge flintlock blaster, pouring in black powder, then ramming down a ball and wad of cloth to keep it there.
Sorry, boy.
The blood pumping in spurts from his wound, the young man reached the leader and raised a dagger high just as the man cocked back the hammer of the weapon and fired it point blank. The muzzle flame engulfed the captain's son's features, and his head shattered into bloody pieces as the solid lead mini-ball plowed through flesh and bone in a grisly explosion.
Any more trouble and you'll get the same. Now I want to learn how to work the great ship, and no more shit from any of you asshole sailor dungheads.
They can't steer the ship.
Good enough for me.
Still not liking the odds, Ryan glanced at the others. Christy and Doc nodded. Mildred cocked back the hammer on her revolver. Dean jacked the slide on his semi-automatic. Jack gestured, and a knife dropped into his palm. He agreed with their decision. Standing into plain view, Ryan started shooting. Doc was a heartbeat behind Ryan. Leveling the Lama, the scholar walked onto the beach, firing his blaster. The .44 caliber hand cannon thundered flame and smoke, and a cold heart left the ground, flying backward for a yard before landing sprawled on the ground, his chest an ugly mess of bones and organs. The chained sailors stared in wonder, while the shocked cold hearts hastily tried to draw their weapons.
Ah, shit!
A few clumsily attempted to reload the flintlock long blasters, ripping open pouches of black powder that spilled onto the beach and was carried away by the blue waves. Firing with every step, Doc strode among the slavers, bodies bursting from the impact of the soft lead mini-balls. Mental images of his own captivity flashed before his eyes, and the gentle scholar killed with ruthless satisfaction. Meanwhile, the other companions opened fire from behind the cover of the broken wall, but JB stepped into view and triggered a spray of 9mm Parabellum rounds at the slavers on the beach. Caught in the act of loading blasters, their riddled bodies tumbled into the surf, but amazingly, the chattering of the submachine gun froze everybody into a tableau. The captives wildly cheered, and the cold hearts dropped to their knees. Switching the selector pin to the shotgun chamber on his pistol, Doc paused at the bizarre surrender.
What?
Rapid fires! It's the Lord Baron's Sekhmen! Forgive us, masters.
We didn't know this vill was under your protection. I humbly beg pardon for our actions.
Sirs, we are freeborn. They branded us as slaves to sell.
So it would seem. Release the prisoners by order of the Lord Baron.
Hesitantly, the slavers started to obey, but many were whispering among themselves as they fiddled with the locks. The serf carried away most of the conversation, but Ryan still heard a few words.
So, where are they?
No tattoos anywhere.
Are they really...
Taking advantage of the temporary peace, Christy went to the table and cut the bound girl free.
Oh, thank you, thank you!
Go with Gaia.
What? Oh, thank you anyway.
The teen joined the other young women, clutching each other in terror. Christy moved behind the table for protection, and with her hands out of sight, quickly reloaded her revolver. Doc joined her, his hands purging the spent chambers of the Lama and reloading.